So thank you, Rabbi Ismach, for giving me the opportunity to share some Divrei Torah, study something together. I think there's some extra sheets over here in case anybody didn't get yet. So for at least a few more minutes, we're sitting on the floors for at least a few more minutes. And aside from sitting on the floors, what's continuing is the not eating, not drinking, the mourning, the no washing, etc. That's really began 3 weeks ago on Shavuot Arba Tammuz and continues with the 9 days and culminates today in Tisha B'Av, this very intense mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that in so many areas of Jewish life, whether it's the Torah or the Chachamim, they create a framework of ritual. Things that we do, things that we don't do, and the ritual that is created, the ultimate goal is to create some sort of change in behavior, some sort of change in ideology and way of thinking about things, way about feeling about things. And at least for myself, I find that Tisha B'Av is maybe one of the harder days to translate that feeling, the ritual, into feeling, into thought, and eventually into action. Maybe specifically because it's so uncomfortable, we have a hard time translating that feeling of discomfort that we feel on the day of Tisha B'Av into the meaning that Tisha B'Av is supposed to bring to us and supposed to help us change something in our lives. So what exactly is the eventual meaning that we're working towards? Where exactly are we going with the idea of Tisha B'Av? So of course, it goes without saying that Tisha B'Av is the day of mourning for the destruction of the two Beit HaMikdash. We've been speaking about it all morning. And we're all familiar with this. The first Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash. But to me, I wanted to maybe dig a little deeper within this question to try to understand what exactly does that mean for us? Meaning, what exactly about the Beit HaMikdash are we mourning? And we understand, obviously, procedurally, it was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of Beit Tefillah Yikarei L'chol HaAmim. It was a place of prayer. But I wanted to maybe for a few minutes study together, learn together, to delve a little bit deeper into what exactly the Beis HaMikdash was spiritually, religiously, experientially for the Jewish people. And perhaps we can understand better what precipitates this incredible amount of mourning that's not just one day of mourning, but not just 9 days of mourning, but 3 weeks of mourning, but obviously with the most intense form of mourning today. Ideally, perhaps by delving into what the Beis HaMikdash was and what it meant for us, we can better understand our mourning, and perhaps more importantly, the day has been a day of, especially as we move into the afternoon, it's a day of anticipation of Geula. What can we change? What can we improve? As all the illustrious speakers before me spoke about, how do we go from here, from this day of Tisha B'Av? So perhaps by having a better picture of our destination, a better picture of the goal of where are we trying to go, what is the Geula, what is the Beis HaMikdash, what does it do for us, how does it change our lives, how does it improve who we are, maybe we can better frame and better integrate our longing and better frame and understand where we're trying to go from this day of Tisha B'Av. So I want to frame our whole discussion really in a Gemara in Bava Kamma, and most of a lot of what I'm going to share this morning is based on an incredible essay by Rav Chaim Friedlander, who is the Mashkiach in the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak for many years. He's a great, he's known very much for his excellence in Jewish thought and understanding of Jewish thought, and to use some of his ideas to perhaps give us a better understanding of the day of Tisha B'Av and where we're trying to go with this day. So it all starts really with this really, really interesting Gemara in Bava Kamma. It begins in all the way on the bottom of Ted Amud Aleph, goes to Ted Amud Bet. The first source on the sheets. There are more copies over here if anybody needs more. But it's the Gemara in Bava Kamma. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma says the following. Eliezer Zeira Havisayim Misani Uchmi. So an individual by the name of Eliezer Zeira, we'll find soon that he was actually a really, really great person. So Eliezer Zeira was wearing black shoes. Now, wearing black shoes at that time was not a common thing. Today, everybody, Shabbos, most people, at least half people, whatever, wear black shoes. But in the times of Eliezer Zeira, we'll see the times of the early Amoraim. This is post-Korban, but it's the early Amoraim. It's a very unusual thing for a person to walk around wearing black shoes. So v'kai b'shuka de naharda. So he was in the marketplaces of naharda. So ashkechu de be'reish galuta. So the people from the house of the exilarch, the reish galuta, they came to him and they said to him, v'amrule ma'ishna hani d'misane. Say, what's with your shoes? What's going on? Who wears black shoes? Why are you wearing such an unusual thing? So Amar Lahu, so he said to them, Tikama Vilna Yerushalayim. He said, I'm mourning for Jerusalem. That's why I'm wearing dark clothing, so to speak, as a sign of my mourning for the destruction. So Amrulay, really difficult to understand line. Amrulay, At Chashivat Litavuli Yerushalayim. We'll come back to this line. But they said to him, are you really important enough to mourn for Jerusalem? Really? You're wearing these shoes. Are you really important enough to mourn for Jerusalem? Savor Yuhara Havi. So they thought this was some sort of form of Yuhara. It was some sort of form of religious showing off, of showing that he was on a very high spiritual religious level, that now he's going to mourn for Jerusalem. Who do you think you are to mourn for Jerusalem? Essentially, that's what they say to him. So At Yuha V'Chavshuha. They actually picked him up and they put him in jail. They threw him in jail for mourning for Jerusalem, for wearing these black shoes. So Amar Lahu, he said to them, wait, guys, stop. He says to them, Gavra Rabba Ana, you got it wrong. I'm actually a really great person and it's really appropriate for me to be mourning for Jerusalem. So Amar Lahu, Minaya Dinan. So how do we know you're really a great person? Okay, you claim that you're so great. How do we know you really are? So Amar Lahu, listen, Oh, Atun Ba'o Minay Milta, Oana Minayichu Milta. So they said, you know what, let's play a game. Either you'll ask me a question or I'll ask you a question and we'll see who can get it right and we'll be able to figure out if I'm really worthy of this title of Gavra Rabba. So Amrulay Bayat. So they said, you ask a question. Amrulay, okay, you ask the question. I'm not going to go into the question, etc. And at the end, Shadru Kami to Shmuel. So they had a discussion and they sent the results of the discussion to Shmuel, who was the Gadol Hador, the leader of the generation, or at least of the area. So Amrulu Shaper Ka'amalechu B'shishim Shafku. Okay, so Shmuel approved the answer and eventually Shafku, they let Eliezer Zeira, they let him go. He left jail, he can go home. Okay. So there's two incredibly striking questions when we read the story about Eliezer Zeira. First of all, why does he need to be a Gavra Rabba? I mean, somebody comes to me and says he wants to do a mitzvah. He wants to wear tefillin, he wants to study Torah, he wants to do an act of chesed. So do I first give him an interview? I say, okay, well, are you really worthy of doing the mitzvah? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Do you go to shul every Shabbos? Do you keep kosher? Do you keep Shabbos? Well, no, but he wants to do a mitzvah, you let him do a mitzvah. So Eliezer Zeira comes, he wants to mourn for Jerusalem. Kol HaKavod, mourn for Jerusalem. Why do we need a status of Gavra Rabba to be able to mourn for Jerusalem? I said, it's not Tisha B'Av, okay, fine, but there are other things that we do that are mourning for Yerushalayim. So he needs to be a Gavra Rabba to mourn for Jerusalem? What's going on here? Secondly, and this is most relevant for today, is what about us? So Tisha B'Av, right? We're all, till 2 minutes ago, we were all sitting on the floor. We're all still in fasting. We're all still can't wash ourselves for the rest of the day. We spent a significant amount of time this morning, last night, and this morning saying kinos, reading Eicha. So suddenly today we're transformed. So suddenly we're Gavra Rabba. We've reached this high level of religious observance and religious status that now allows us to mourn for Jerusalem. What's going on? So what happened? Meaning, either why do you have to be a Gavra Rabba? Why do you have to be such a great person? And to the extent that you have to be such a great person, so how does that fit into our rituals? How does that fit into our lives? Our mourning for Jerusalem, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and ultimately this day of Tisha B'Av. So those are the two questions that we want to address based on Rav Friedlander. So Friedlander says that in order to understand this Gemara and ultimately understand our mourning and our purpose, perhaps, on this day of Tisha B'Av, we first have to understand what was Yerushalayim. What exactly is it that we are longing for, and what exactly is it that we are mourning? Then now we can have to be a Gavra Rabba and only on Tisha B'Av, etc. Can we do this? So he goes through a few sources, and I want to read them with you. Really, really fascinating sources in Chazal that describe to us what Yerushalayim really was, and in turn, what we're really missing now that we don't have the Beis Hamikdash. So let's start with the Yalkut Shimoni. It's on the sheets. Yefeh Nof Mesos Kal Haaretz, describing Yerushalayim. It's the beautiful, beautiful city, the beautiful view. It is the rejoicing of the whole land. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shehaita Misamechet Kol Haaretz. Why is Yerushalayim Misos Kol Haaretz? Because it would be Misamechet Kol Haaretz. It would make everybody so happy. Adam Over Avera Vidoeg, a person, he did an he did an Avera, perhaps an Avera by accident. And Doeg, he's worried, he's concerned, V'libo Shachalav, he's heavy. He's a heavy heart because of what happened. So what happens? Amar of Nachman, Alal Yerushalayim, he came to Jerusalem. V'ikriv Korban, he brought a sacrifice. V'nislach lo v'yatza misham sameach. And he was forgiven and he left rejoicing. Now obviously it's not just the animal, not just bringing the animal, but obviously it's the experience of bringing the animal. It's the teshuva that was inspired by the experience of bringing the animal that it made the person confident that he was forgiven for what he had done. But is that forgiveness, that experience that comes through the korbanot, of the sacrifices we can make in the Beis HaMikdash, that's what makes the person happy. That's part of what we're missing when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. The next source, the Medrash Tanchuma, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon, Ma'olam lo lan adam b'Yerushalayim uviyado avon. Fascinating. Nobody ever spent the night in Jerusalem with a sin in hand. Okay, so how is that possible? Tamid shal shachar michaper al avonot shenasu balayla. There are two daily sacrifices, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Dr. Schiffman mentioned them. So the one that was brought in the morning would atone, it would make up for all the sins that were done at night. And tamid shal ben ha'arbayim michaper al avonot shenasu bayom. And the Korban Tamid in the afternoon, the daily sacrifice in the afternoon would atone for all the sins of the day. So again, it's clearly not just the animals themselves that created the atonement, but it's the experience. It's interesting that the Medrash specifically says, Ein Adam Lan B'Yerushalayim, a person wouldn't sleep in Jerusalem. Why is that to be sleeping in Jerusalem? The Korban Tamid does not affect a person more or less halachically where he's located. So what the Medrash seems to be alluding to, it was the experience of being around the Beis HaMikdash, being there, being in the city. You didn't have to be watching the Kohen do the Avodah. You didn't have to be there for the sights of the Beis HaMikdash. But being in the city of Jerusalem in its glory, with the Beis HaMikdash in place, that experience by itself would lift a person, it would elevate a person, it would motivate, it would inspire, it would bring a person to teshuva, and it would help a person remove himself from any sins, any iniquity, which he had. The third source, the fascinating, beautiful Tosafot in Bava Batra, starts on the next page. He says, Lefi Shehaya Roe Kedusha Gedola. There was an incredible amount of sanctity that a person would observe in the city of Jerusalem. The Kohanim Oskim Ba'avoda. He was at the Beis HaMikdash, he'd be able to watch the priests, the Kohanim, involved in the Avoda. Just seeing these things, just experiencing these things, just seeing the kedusha of the space would inspire a person to greater fear of heaven. Velumo Torah would inspire him to study Torah. It's in the context of the Maaser Sheni, the tithes that must be brought and eaten in Jerusalem. So the Torah says, you bring these tithes to Jerusalem, so that you will learn to fear God. Gadol Maaser Sheni Shemevi Li De Talmud. That Maaser Sheni, bringing tithes, brings a person to study. Who has one after the other? Levishaya Omid B'Yerushalayim. He had to eat this food in Jerusalem. He had to bring it there. He had to eat it there. So he would come, he would bring it, he would eat it there. Ad Sheyocha Maaser Sheni Shelo. So Hashem makes him bring the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim, but the Maaser Sheni, the Torah says, and the Medrash says, is Tosafot describing, it's just a ruse, it's just a trick, it's just a by the way to get the person to Jerusalem, get the person to Yerushalayim. He'd be in this holy place and he'd see what was happening. He'd see the spirituality of the place, he would see what was going on. Uva avodah, and they were involved in heavenly work, in divine work. So haya gamhu mechaven liyirat shemayim veosik b'torah. Just being in the environs of Yerushalayim, being around the Beis HaMikdash, seeing what everybody was involved in, what everybody was doing, that by itself would inspire, and that by itself would lift him up. Maaser Sheni was just the means to get him there, But the ultimate goal was the experience, was the inspiration that was there. I think to myself sometimes, imagine if I could take my sixth grade class in North Shore Hebrew Academy to the Beis HaMikdash. We go, most of us, if not all, many of us, if not most of us, have had the opportunity to visit the Kotel. Imagine what inspiration, just being there with all the people who are davening, just being there. I can't imagine anybody's not elevated by the experience. The Kotel we have is the leftovers, is the end of the end of the end of the outer wall of the Beis HaMikdash. And we're so inspired by it, we're so moved by it. I think to myself, imagine if I could take my students to see the actual Beis HaMikdash, to see the Kohanim in action, see what was going on, see the feeling, the mood, the mode, the direction. Everybody there has focused on serving Hashem. Imagine what inspiration we could bring to ourselves. Imagine, I think to myself, imagine what I could bring to my students if we had the opportunity to be there in the Beis HaMikdash. The next source, the Zohar says, so it's in Zoharic Aramaic, so I apologize for the text, but he's talking about the different things that were experienced in the Beis HaMikdash. He starts by discussing the tzitz, which was the head plate that the Kohen Gadol would wear. So he says, Atzvin deraza deshma kadisha davuklifin al tzitza, the name of Hashem's name that will be on the tzitz, on that head plate. Koman davim istakil bahu nitzitzin da atzvan hava atzper libe. He would see it, his heart would become broken. It was humility. He was so taken by the grandeur, the greatness of the view, of the vision of what he saw, it would lead to humility. Uchadein tzitza mechaper alayu. It's a beautiful explanation. Because this is what it means when the Gemara says, the Chachamim tell us, that the tzitz would be mechaper. There are many things in the Gemara about tumah, different things. The tzitz is mechaper for different types of impurity. Is it just something present, the metaphysical presence of the tzitz in the world that would bring kapara, that would bring atonement? So the Zohar says, no, it was much more than that. It was the inspiration of the experience of confronting, of being in the Beis HaMikdash, seeing the Kohen Gadol in his garb, seeing the Kohen Gadol in action. That would bring such inspiration to people, it would bring such humility to people. It would direct a person. And he says, it would bring a person to humility in front of Hashem. That's why the tzitz was mechaper. Not because it's magical, but because it's the encounter with the tzitz would inspire a person and bring him to humility and bring him to better service of Hashem. And he continues with the ketoret. Similarly, the ketoret, the spices, the incense. Komanda arach bahu tanana, katsalek hahu amuda mahim ala ashan, his heart would be purified by smelling the ketoret. This sounds a little bit more magical or metaphysical, but it was the experience. Lemiflach lamari, to serve his master. And whatever evil spirit was in the person, whatever filth of the Yetzer Hara was in the person, would be removed. He had one heart, so to speak. He had a united, focused, directed heart towards serving Hashem, towards his Father in heaven. That was the experience of being in Yerushalayim, being in Jerusalem. That was the experience of being in the Beis HaMikdash, being around the temple. The sights, the smells, the sounds, the crowds, the view, the feel, the experience, the totality of that would inspire a person. It would bring him closer to Hashem. It would help him do teshuva. It would make him a better person. It would enhance his life spiritually. It would bring him closer to Hashem. Just being there, just seeing it, just experiencing it, would make such an impact, such a change in a person's life. So let's see what Rav Freelander says about this. We'll skip the next source, but let's see what Rav Freelander says about this. We'll read the first two paragraphs. So he says, Miu amatim litabel al Yerushalayim ulitzta'er al heder efsharu litkarev l'Hashem itbarach. So now let me ask you a question, he says. So who is the one who can be in distress, who could say that he's really distressed about the lack of his ability to come to Hashem, come close to Hashem in this way? Dafka gavar abba. So now we understand the Gemara. You need a gavar abba, you need a great person. Adam shenitzal umitzal kol afshariyot shel aliyah beruchniyut. Somebody who's taken advantage of all his spiritual opportunities. Itkarev el Hashem itbarach, to come close to Hashem. He has a sincere, genuine desire to come close to Hashem, to find opportunities to come closer to Him. And he's used all the other opportunities that he has. So he says, now I'm missing Jerusalem. I've used all my resources. I've studied Torah, I've spoken to my rabbi, went to learn from him, I did chesed, I did get stuck, I used all my, everything I have around me. But now I need Yerushalayim. So that's what happened. The opportunity to come close to Hashem completely. This was a stance, a situation which they merited when the Beit HaMikdash was in its form. When the Beit HaMikdash was standing, so then they had that opportunity to come close to Hashem. So he says, Biram, however, Im gamet ha'efsharyot she'omdim lefanav l'itkarev el Hashem itbarach eino menatzel otan kira'uyu v'shleimut. But a person who hasn't taken advantage of all his other opportunities for coming close to Hashem, so how can he say he's in distress? How can he legitimately, honestly say that he's in distress because he doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash if he hasn't used everything else he has? A person who takes advantage of everything he has, he can say, okay, I've done everything. Or at least I want to do everything. I've directed myself towards doing everything. But I'm still missing something. I need the Beis HaMikdash. So that a person, okay, so he's ra'uy, he's fit to mourn for Yerushalayim. He's a gavra rabba. That's what the Reish Galuta, the people from the house of the Reish Galuta were saying. You want to mourn for Jerusalem? Not anybody can mourn for Jerusalem. Not anybody can say that I'm so much in pain because I'm missing out on these opportunities. Only a person who uses all the other opportunities he has, and he's reached such a level where he can say, I'm still missing something. So that person is a gavra rabba, and that person is fit to mourn for Jerusalem. So he says, but so that's how Rav Friedlander explains it. Only such a person can mourn for Jerusalem. But there's a second function of the mourning for Yerushalayim. There's a second thing that we are bemoaning, that we are grieving over when we mourn because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Yerushalayim. And this is a little bit deeper, it's a little bit, I would say perhaps a little more abstract, but my feeling is that if we don't study it together, if we don't inform ourselves, if we don't learn about it, we at least need to know what it is so that we can at least aspire towards it. Of course, we'll see we've all accomplished it to a certain degree. But the higher levels of aspiration, let's see how Rav Friedlander describes it. So it's in Matarano Sefet Yesh La'avilut Yerushalayim. There's another goal, there's another objective in mourning for Yerushalayim. Al HaShchinta B'Galuta, on the divine presence, the Shechina that is in exile. Heder kavod shamayim bivriya, the lack of honor of God in the creation. The divine presence, Hashem's Shekhinah in this world is in exile. It's not around. We don't feel it. Of course it's here, but we don't feel it. We don't appreciate it. Kishebeit HaMikdash hayal mechono, ra'u ota b'milo kivodo v'hadro. They were able to see the divine presence in this world in its full glory. Even the second Beis HaMikdash, where things were going downhill, things weren't where they were before. They still were able to appreciate, observe, and absorb the Kavod Shamayim from the experience of the Beis HaMikdash. Mihu ha-ra'ui l'kach, shal yisod zeh tiyeh mushtet avilutoh. Who is the person who can say that my mourning is on this, based on this, this lack of kavod shamayim in the world? Adam shekol tochen chayav uvechol peulatav umaasav matara achad lo b'avodat Hashem. A person who has one goal in serving Hashem. Haramat kavod shamayim. Somebody who wants, his goal is to raise the kavod shamayim in the world. His objective is to bring more awareness, godly awareness into the world. So that person, he's the person who could say, okay, I see that it's missing. If my life objective is to bring more honor of God into this world, more God awareness into this world, so that more people know about Hashem, so then when it's missing, I can say, wow, this pains me. I'm suffering. I'm going to wear my black shoes. I'm going to sit on the floor. It's so hard for me that these things don't exist, that these things aren't in the world. I read to you a little excerpt from the writings based on Rav Soloveitchik about the keynote. He says, and then many years later, the Churban Beit HaMikdash further limited the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. He enveloped himself in mystery and is not easily recognized. It's not on the sheets, I'm sorry, I'm reading it from the book. So he enveloped himself in mystery and is not easily recognized. And now we have to search for him. It is very hard to find him in the world. It is very difficult for man to climb up into transcendence. Man is a frail, weak, limited being. The verse says, from there you shall seek the Lord your God. But this infinite search is sometimes very difficult because there are many of what Chazal call mechitzot, or fences separating us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll skip to the next paragraph. The purpose of the Beit HaMikdash is to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into our midst so that He will be close to us rather than transcendence, so that He will be imminent in this world. But what we desire is to have the HaKadosh Baruch Hu return to us to establish His main seat, His main residence here in this universe, in human history overall, and especially in our Jewish history. We're longing to bring Hashem's presence, awareness of Hashem, back here. And of course, if He is present here, everyone will be able to recognize Him, identify Him. That's the part of the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, part of what we long for. We read Aleinu, right? Everybody's going to turn to Hashem, because when the Beis HaMikdash is there, when it's in its glory, when it's in Yerushalayim, everybody is aware of Hashem. It's really God awareness that we long for. It's really God awareness that we bemoan, that we are lacking on this day of Tisha B'Av and throughout the year. Everyone will feel close to Him, and there will be no alienation, no estrangement from Him. This is the ideal for Yahadut, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back down into our world. So that's really what the Gemara means. You have to be a Gavra Rabba. You have to be a great person to be able to say that this is what I'm missing, and this is what I want back. This is what I'm aspiring towards. I don't have this in my life, and I want this. Only a great person can do that. Only a great person can sincerely say that I'm missing out on this last opportunity to be able to come close to Hashem, all the inspiration that comes from the Beis HaMikdash. I'm missing out because there's less Kavod Shemayim in this world, and I have dedicated my life completely to bringing Kavod Shemayim into this world, and now that the Beis HaMikdash is in here, there's a lack of Kavod Shemayim, and I feel the pain. Only a Gavra Rabba, a great person, can say that. But then there's the big question. So what about today? What about Tisha B'Av? Who are we? Suddenly, magically, in one day, we have all transformed into becoming Gavra Rabba. Our spiritual status changed so drastically and so completely for one day that we can now appropriately and meaningfully and sincerely and genuinely mourn for Yerushalayim. So I want to give the following explanation inspired by the writings of Ari Friedlander. So each period in the Jewish calendar has its own opportunity for spiritual growth, its own opportunity for change, for improvement, for becoming something bigger, something better. We know, obviously, Rosh Hashanah is the time of year that there's special divine ability, there's special divine guidance in being able to see Hashem's kingship in the world, to be able to appreciate and accept upon ourselves the fact that Hashem is the King of the world. Yom Kippur, Tshuva, Sukkot, it's the idea of Simcha, of serving Hashem with joy, and other things, Pesach, freedom to serve Hashem, Shavuot, Torah. Each holiday, each time, each era of the year, there is special siyata dishmaya, there is special divine guidance and providence that enables us, facilitates for us, to be able to appreciate a different aspect of serving Hashem. And of course, we take that aspect that we gain from that period and we use it to carry us throughout the year. So this period, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and of course, most intensely, most specially, today, Tisha B'Av, it's that ability to be able to feel like there's something missing in our lives because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. It's to be able to feel that feeling that there is something, there's an inspiration, there's a coming close to Hashem that I don't have, that I badly want, I badly strive, I wish I had, that I don't have because there's no Beis HaMikdash. The rest of the year, we have to be on a certain spiritual level to be able to feel that. But on Tisha B'Av, Hashem allows us, Hashem creates an opening, there's a portal, there's a path towards that feeling that we don't have the rest of the year, that we're given specially on this day. The feeling that there should be more Kavod Shemayim, that there's something lacking because there's not enough Kavod Shemayim in the world. Normally during the year, it's a hard thing to feel. Even if we're not all directed towards Kavod Shemayim, we haven't been able to make that into our direct purpose and soul direction in our lives. But Tisha B'Av is an opening for that. And the mourning, the acts of mourning that we do, are the vehicle that allows us to get through that opening. They are the reminders, that discomfort that we feel, that difficulty, that feeling of, it's hard, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av, that whole experience is meant to awaken within us that awareness that something is missing. When I sit on the floor, or when I'm hungry, or when I can't wash and I want to, I'm uncomfortable because I wasn't able to shower, that feeling is meant to awaken an awareness that there's something missing in my life. Awaken an awareness that I'm missing that inspiration that the Beis HaMikdash could offer. I'm missing that opportunity for closeness to Hashem. There's not enough Kavod Shemayim in this world. That's what Tisha B'Av does for us. That's what Tisha B'Av provides for us. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said something very interesting. He said that the opportunity for spiritual growth on Tisha B'Av is no less than that of Yom Kippur. Mister, what does that mean? Yom Kippur, Ketzlicha Michila, is the day of ultimate forgiveness. It's the highest spiritual heights that we reach the entire year. So what do you mean Tisha B'Av is like, okay, I understand both days I'm fasting, both days the Chamesh Inuyim, five things, five afflictions, things I can't do. Okay, I understand that there's parallel. But what does that mean, that the spiritual opportunity is the same? So Friedlander explains that it's once with this background, we can understand it so much better. Meaning the experience of the morning of Tisha B'Av, it awakens within me awareness that there's somewhere else I have to go, awareness that I have to come closer to Hashem, that I'm missing something because I don't have those opportunities that Beis HaMikdash provides for me. It's an awareness, it's an opportunity for awareness that there's a lack of Kavod Shemayim in this world, there's a lack of godly awareness in this world. That feeling, and that by itself creates closeness. Meaning, the awareness of the distance by itself helps close that gap, so to speak, that exists between me and Hashem. The fact that I know there's somewhere I need to go, the fact there's somewhere I know I need to get closer, that's inspiration by itself, that feeling of closeness to Hashem that's brought about by the day of Tisha B'Av, has no less opportunity than that of Yom Kippur itself. I'll close with the famous Gemara. It's the bottom of the third page here. The pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya, "Simchu et Yerushalayim v'gilu ba, rejoice with Jerusalem. Kol ohaveha, all those who love her. Sisu ita masos kol hamitablim aleha, rejoice with her, rejoicing all those who mourn over her." You know the famous Gemara on the next page, the last source. The Gemara says, "Kol hamitabel al Yerushalayim zoche v'roe b'simchata." Everybody who mourns for Jerusalem will be able to merit eventually and see the joy, the rejoicing of Jerusalem, of Yerushalayim as well. So of course, on the simple level, it's like midah keneged midah, right? Hashem says, you're with me in the tough times, I'll bring you with me in the good times also, right? It was there were tough goings, you stuck with me, you felt the pain when things were bad, okay, I'll bring you along for the good times also. But the many mefarshim say, zoche v'ro'eh b'simchata. It's not yizke v'yir'eh in the future, but zoche v'roeh b'simchata achshav, right now, in the present tense, that it's the experience of being mitabel al Yerushalayim, the experience which brings a person to this awareness of the need of closeness to Hashem. And the feelings of closeness that are brought by the experience itself that bring a person closer to the Beis HaMikdash. That experience of Beis HaMikdash, a person can feel it, can begin to feel it right now, through that feeling of realization of coming close to Hashem, of realizing that there is that distance that we need to bring closer. There is that distance that we need to close. I want to close with a thought. Moments ago, we began to sit on chairs, and we know that the second half of the day, after Chatzot Hayom, after midday on Tisha B'Av, the mood is a lot lighter than it is on the first day. Of course, we still can't greet each other, we still can't study Torah, we still can't wash, etc. We can't eat or drink. But we begin by sitting on chairs in mincha, those who are going to pray mincha soon, those who pray mincha later, we recite Nachem, their psukim of nechama, psukim of consolation. So perhaps we can sort of think about the consolation in this sense. That throughout the experience of Tisha B'Av, which continues throughout the day, it is specifically the growth, the awareness that we have gained through the experience of Tisha B'Av that brings us nechama. Meaning we don't end the day just in our mourning. We don't end the day just in our sadness on the floor with the same feeling of despair. But it's the awareness that through the experience of Tisha B'Av, we have created greater awareness for ourselves, awareness for the inspiration that we are missing because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, the longing that has been created through the experience of the day, the awareness that we need more Kavod Shamayim, and the Kavod Shamayim is lacking in this world because of the experience of the morning of Tisha B'Av. That by itself brings us consolation. That itself is the beginnings of the consolation that we believe that through the experience of Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is supposed to take us somewhere. Tisha B'Av is not meant to be a day, it's over, okay, we go back to our regular lives, but Tisha B'Av, it brings us along, it carries us through. And of course, we daven, this is the last Tisha B'Av, in the introduction to the Sefer, the famous idea that the Rav says in Warsaw, every year at the end of Tisha B'Av, they throw out their kinos. We're done. Hopefully we don't need them next year. We don't want to need them next year. The experience is such that by uplifting ourselves, by coming close to Hashem through the experience of Tisha B'Av, that by itself should be b'mhira v'yameinu merit us to be able to see the real Beis HaMikdash, to be able to see the real experience, to be able to really experience that inspiration of the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to really bring back, to really be merit to see the true Kavod Shamayim in the world, where everybody in the world be able to recognize Hashem. Ba'yom ahu, yeh Hashem echad, u'shmo echad. Amen.